Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Oliver Stone, who made a movie that didn't come true. So, of course, he gets... Well, although because it was... I guess it was because of that movie, right? In 91 or 92, that they... Some act was passed because of that movie, correct? Do I have that right?
Is that right?
I believe so. Somebody can fact check me on that.
Okay.
I'm almost positive that it's because of that movie that Congress reopened some sort of a case and something.
Well, because the movie, I think, helped create the... Or fuel the conspiracy theories.
Well,
it kind of exploded.
Everybody remembers that final scene. I don't think it's a final scene, but that famous scene with the Donald Sutherland, where he's just going through in rapid fire the entire case. He lays out the entire case in like a great 4-minute soundbite. Of course, none of that was true. All right, roll Oliver Stone, please.
I asked the committee to reopen what the Warren Commission failed miserably to complete. I ask you in good faith, outside all political considerations, to reinvestigate the assassination of this President Kennedy from the scene of the crime to the courtroom, which never happened, but which means the chain of custody on the rifle, the bullets, the fingerprints, the autopsy that defies belief, and that if it were a murder, we'd have given to the poorest man dying in a gutter. Let us reinvestigate the fingerprints of intelligence all over Lee Harvey Oswald from 1959 to 1960, his violent death in 1963. And most importantly, this CIA, whose muddy footprints are all over this case, a true interrogation.
And then Roger Stone took the stand and he gave his spin on it. You know, it's interesting.
I have that, yes.
No, is that true? You really do?
So, no.
I was making a joke.
Lauren Boebert, because she's not bright, confused Roger Stone and Oliver Stone.
Oh, okay.
Roll this.
Well, I didn't know this.
Because Roger Stone wrote the book about how he believes that LBJ was at the center of the assassination of JFK.
Got it.
And Lauren Boebert, because she does no research whatsoever.
Well, she's vaping in theaters.
Said this. Roll it.
Mr. Stone, you wrote a book accusing LBJ of being involved in the killing
just go hook up with
Kennedy.
Like, you know,
did these most recent releases confirm or negate your initial charge?
What?
Being involved in the assassination.
He's like, what is this dumb broad talking about?
She's talking about Raj?
President Kennedy.
No, I didn't. In the film, if you look closely, there's no such statements.
No, I didn't. If you look closely at the film, there's no. It accuses the President Johnson,
okay,
of being part of a complicit in a cover up of the case, but not in the assassination itself, which I don't know.
What do you think that he was complicit with? Yes, sir. I'll get to you.
The cover up. Well, how about, for starters, appointing Alan Dulles, the head of the CIA, who was fired by Kennedy, to the commission itself. To the Warren Commission, and he goes to almost every meeting, and he's pretty much in charge of the Warren Commission from the beginning. Alan Dulles. That's part of the evidence that points to President Johnson's either incompetence or involvement.
Mr. Morley, I think you had something to add on that.
I think you're confusing Mr. Oliver Stone Mr. Roger Stone.
Stated it yet. Sorry.
There's the whole
It's Roger Stone who implicated LBJ in the assassination of the president. It's not my friend.
What an embarrassment.
I may have misinterpreted
it. It was the entire basis of your question.
Yeah. If Tony Bruno or I misspeak and say Roger Stone instead of Oliver Stone by mistake, it's one thing. When you're on Capitol Hill and you're building your entire statement around a theory, you have to have the actors correct, right?
Here's what I'll take from that. That she quickly realized, because she can hear them whispering, and she realized she mixed up those two. But it also shows Oliver Stone clearly was being whispered to. She's confusing, but Oliver Stone chose to be gracious because he's very focused on he said yeah. in the first clip you talked about that he doesn't want to be political. So Oliver Stone chose to not call her out on what then Morley right. couldn't resist. And he just said no in the movie, and he gives her a window to say in the movie he's talking about, you know, the vice president and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So it just shows you Oliver Stone, he's very serious about this. He wants bipartisan support. He truly believes, I mean, some people say it's a myth since his 1991 movie, but he believes that this, that the CIA and others were complicit.
No, I mean,
no, you're right. And the other guy is the historian. The other guy who was testifying,
Morley,
you know, and I'm not going to defend Lauren. Yeah, Morley. I mean, he knows that it was the shot came from the front, not from behind. I mean, all of the information that he has from the doctors and the people involved that there's no way Lee Harvey Oswald was the killer. And some people said he was actually walking in the crowd behind it. So the thing that's interesting to me, and Boebert obviously wasn't ready, and she looked like an idiot. But at least she stuck to the actual topic, mm-hmm. as opposed to Jasmine Crockett and the Democrats, who wanted to make it about the signal situation mm-hmm. from a week ago. They didn't even address the issue at hand, which is the JFK assassination files. They were going in different directions, not even talking about the JFK investigation.
Well, I would just love to ask people, when we talk about JFK, are there actually people out there that believe that it is the way the Warren Commission told us, and that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone? That percentage has got to be so small at this point. That's what Harry Enten's next data splurge of holy cows and oh my goodness graciouses should be about: how many people actually believe that it was just Lee Harvey Oswald alone. In that information dump that we got 2 weeks ago on the JFK files, one of the things that I was reading was about how Jack Ruby and Oswald, they met up together before this happened. Yep. Why would they meet up together before? It's so obvious the CIA, it was directly involved with this. So obvious.
By the way, Tony referenced the JFK Facts co-founder. Phil, this is Cut 26 here. He was on with Jesse Waters last night, saying, Tony, what you said, that he does not believe Oswald was responsible for Kennedy's death. Bob Morley, is that his name? Yeah, roll this.
Jefferson, you said at that hearing that you don't believe that Oswald killed JFK?
No, the evidence doesn't support that. You know, you need to pay attention to the testimony of the Dallas doctors and the people who attended JFK's autopsy. You have dozens of people who said that they saw a blowout wound in the back of Kennedy's head caused by a gunshot from the front. So that shot could not have been fired by Lee Harvey Oswald. So, no, I don't believe Oswald was responsible for Kennedy's death. The evidence doesn't support that claim.
Where would the round have come from then?
From in front. Dr. Robert McClellan was one of the doctors at Parkland Hospital who attempted to save Kennedy's life. He was standing at the top of the gurneys as the technicians tried to resuscitate the badly wounded president. And when he looked down, he saw this blowout wound in the back of Kennedy's head. And he said to one of the doctors, he said, "My God, did you see that?" And the other doctor said, "Yes." 13 years later, when Dr. McClellan saw the Zapruder film, the home movie of the gunfire that claimed President Kennedy's life, he said, quite frankly, that bullet came from the grassy knoll. So this isn't Morley's theory. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's what the doctor who tried to save Kennedy's life said. Yes, I know Gerald Posner came along and wrote a book many years later and tried to impugn Dr. McClellan's testimony, and he failed. Dr. McClellan was a beloved doctor at Parkland Hospital, a mentor to generations. There's no reason to doubt his testimony about what he saw about the nature of President Kennedy's wounds. So to repeat, the evidence does not support the notion that Lee Harvey Oswald killed the president. He could not have fired a shot from the front.
Wow. It doesn't matter all the facts that are released on this. We're never gonna have consensus on this.
Nope.
There's still gonna be people that are gonna question this.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what did releasing the documents even do?
The bigger issue I have with all of this. Go ahead, Tony.
No, it's just I think that we all know now. And I grew up in that era. I remember when JFK was killed. I was a little kid. My dad died the year before JFK. So it was a tumultuous time in this country with the assassinations of not just JFK, but RFK and Martin Luther King. So assassinations were the big thing back then. And I remember, the, you know, Arlen Specter and the Warren Commission and all the other things. I think what Roger Stone, see, I did it again.
Well, the biggest, you talk about assassinations being the big thing, but we're talking about something that happened, my God, how long ago? What's the total math? 30 to 20, 58, whatever it is, 60 years
yes.
ago. You know, there was assassinations were kind of in the news for like 9 minutes in the summer of 2024.
Yeah.
And there's no. But
everybody now knows. I think the bottom line is we know the CIA was complicit. The government, this was a government hit job on JFK because they didn't like the way the whole Bay of Pigs thing happened and the Cubans and the Russians and all this other stuff. So there's no doubt JFK was not killed by Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yeah.
He was a stooge put up to it. And then Jack Ruby comes in. So if you don't know the story, I mean, you have to go way back. Now Corn Pop was on the grassy knoll. I think
Corn
people
Pop.
Believe that too.
Yeah, Corn Pop was
Corn
a bad
Pop
dude.
Was, you know, he was a bad dude. So
the hell with that.
Exactly. I think that I'd like to know if the CIA was involved. Because I think they were. I think the government set up JFK because they wanted him out, and then they wanted his brother out, who was the attorney general.
Yeah.
So tell me this wasn't a conspiracy to get rid of the Kennedy. Only Bobby Kennedy lived. Only the lion of the Senate who killed a woman in a car in Chappaquiddick.
Teddy.
He became the lion of the Senate.
I know.
Yes.
I know. Teddy Kennedy. Kennedys.
Teddy Kennedy. That's Teddy. Teddy Chappaquiddick. Teddy.
Yeah. Hideous family.
With all due respect to JFK, the bigger question is why nobody's talking about Donald Trump's assassination attempts. That's the bigger issue I have. I mean, you think about this.
Well,
July
because they've
13th.
Covered that up, too.
Yeah, well,
they've covered that up.
Where is all the investigations? Why do we not know anything about Thomas Matthew Crooks and Ryan Wesley Ruth? When there's a shooting in this country, we know the shooter's entire social media history. We know their profile. We know everything they have done in their entire life, what they stood mm-hmm. for, who they voted for, what color hat they wear. And we know very little to nothing on both of these guys. That should be the question Americans have. Doesn't matter if you like JFK. Doesn't matter if you despise Donald Trump and you hate his guts. We've gotten squat on two attempts separated by what? 9 weeks?
Pam Bondi announced that they're seeking the death penalty for Luigi Mangione. Somebody that has been vocally supporting, I guess, Luigi Mangione because, I mean, he claims he hasn't been. But he said on Kimmel or one of those shows, free Luigi is Bill Burr. Yeah. So he was outside the Kennedy Center. This is Cut 27, Phil. He was outside the Kennedy Center where a reporter asked him about it. He didn't like the fact that the reporter was asking him this question because he said, I'm here to support Conan, because I guess they were honoring Conan O'Brien. This was actually a couple weeks ago, I think. I don't know why this is making the rounds now. Roll what he said.
Tell us about your reaction to Luigi Mangione. I was reading up, you know, that perhaps you've been supportive of what he did. What is your take on that?
If you were reading up, I don't think you read up on it. Because I said what I felt about it, and I said what a lot of
people
said.
Some people took it that way. So could you clarify what you think?
No, I'm not going to just have some controversial moments so you can get clicks. I'm not doing that. I mean, I'm here for Conan. I'm not doing all of this. What are you going to bring up next? The Middle East? I went to summer school 3 out of 4 years in high school. I'm not qualified to talk about this.
I was just going to bring it right
down. What do you
think
about global warming?
You said about Elon that he was ruining Earth, I saw on The View. You're critical of him. What do you think of all the boycotts, like even the violence
I don't
that's
watch
going
the news.
On Tesla?
I don't watch the news. I have no idea what's going on. I watch Instagram. I watch people wipe out on motorcycles. I watch lions and hyenas fight each other. This is the things that I do. And I don't think you should be asking a comedian. You're a journalist.
Comedians are on top of current events.
No. That's weak. That's you guys passing the buck. You guys need to have balls again, which you don't. You guys always goes, should we be thinking this? Duh. You guys present stuff like that. You guys used to have balls. You need to get your balls back. And it's not my job. I am a dancing clown.
Wait a minute. Bill Burr's the one that's been interjecting his political thoughts on everything under the sun for the last 6 months. How many times have we seen Bill Burr with a political commentary on some show? And now because, was that a Newsmax reporter? Who was that?
It doesn't matter. It's the venue. He's there promoting a project, and he does not want to talk about politics when he's on that. Well, get that media junket.
To me, Bill Burr, you lack balls, sir, because you're the first one.
Exactly. His wife took his balls away from him. This guy used to be edgy.
Yep.
He used to be funny. And now he's just another hack, left-wing hack, who let his wife must take his balls every night and put them in a safe somewhere.
This guy
has jumped the shark. He's no longer a relevant guy.
Big balls.
He went from edgy to absolutely smooth. He's a marble. He went from edgy to being a marble. He's got no edge.
He went from being a sharp to being a marble.
Exactly right.
I wanted to get through this with Tony. We teased it the other day. The other day when Trump was taking questions in the Oval Office, he was asked about his former daughter-in-law, Vanessa, who's now in a relationship with Tiger Woods.
Yes.
And somebody asked him about it, and he answered. Roll it.
But I am just curious. What is your thought about Tiger Woods now becoming part of the broader Trump family?
Well, I love Tiger, and I love Vanessa, and they had a great relationship. I happen to think the relationship was hurt very badly by the witch hunt that went on, Russia, 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 and all the crap that they put Don through. Who knew nothing about it? But Vanessa and Don had a very good relationship. They have incredible children, five incredible children. All good athletes, all great students, they're like great. And they broke up, quite a while ago. And which was to me very sad because I think they're both great. Don and Vanessa and Tiger actually called me a few months ago and have a very special, very good relationship with Tiger. I played golf with him a couple of times over the last month. And he's a fantastic guy and a fantastic athlete. And he told me about it. And I said, Tiger, that's good. I'm very happy for both. I just let them both be happy. They're both great.
Tiger calls me and he says,
sure.
I'm with Don Jr., Sax. How about that tea time we have coming up, Mr. President? Are we still on?
By the way, Don Jr.'s ex-wife, Wood. I mean, let's be honest.
Did you see the video of Kai Trump and Charlie Woods, Tiger's son, together in a golf competition?
Really?
You talk about great golfers.
Yeah. Really? No, Tiger, I didn't see that.
Tiger's boy and Don Jr.'s daughter who's going to Miami on a full
Wait a minute. Come on. Trump's a racist. He doesn't like black. He's never going to have black people around him. What's the matter with you, man?
Do you think Tiger votes for Trump?
Of course he does.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
100%. He's got millions of dollars to protect. You think he's going to just give it away to politicians?
No, he just gives it away to surgeons and doctors to repair his body.
Let's move out to Tucson, Arizona, shall we? This is courtesy of
Channel. Are we taking the show on the road? Are we moving?
Channel 13. I love to go to Arizona.
I'll never come back.
Channel 13 News. These two masked women who refuse to identify themselves are starting a campaign to make Tucson a sanctuary city.
Sunglasses and masks.
Yes. Yeah. You have to see this video. Yeah. YouTube.com/at1210WPHT. Please hit the like button. Please hit the like and subscribe button. Roll it.
Look at these kooks.
The country has been shaken with numerous executive orders and fundamental changes that infringe upon the rights and well-being of every single person that resides in the United States.
They're outside!
And sunglasses.
The organizers went on to say that they understand that there is only so much that the city can do and that they are trying, but they want to see those words become action. They explain the campaign is modeled after many other sanctuary cities across the country, most recently Boston, which the organizers explained is the format for the sanctuary city they are proposing, one where it's not just for immigrants, but for all marginalized communities.
We would really like to protect the rights and well-being of all marginalized communities.
I can't hear you. Can you speak up?
The current administration, that is all of us.
The organizers are currently trying to get over 5,000 signatures to really make it known to City Council that this is what the community wants, and they say they are already receiving a lot of support. However, Kathleen Wynn, chairman of the Pima County Republican Party, says she is hearing differently, adding that sanctuary cities are set up so that people can, quote, circumvent the law, and that law and order needs to be restored in Tucson and Pima County to ensure businesses and the community can continue to thrive.
I always love a good protest or a good cause when you cover up and conceal your entire face.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's good, whether
in
it's
Tucson, Arizona.
Yeah.
In Tucson, Arizona, closer to the border than pretty much every other city in Arizona. And these two chicks are out there marching for sanctuary city status.
Yeah. Whether
and,
it's
And they probably think that the MS-13 guys are like fathers, like the story about the guy
in Maryland. Yeah.
Oh, he was a father.
He's a family.
You know, he was a father.
Yeah.
The guy was a trafficker. The guy was not just a father who got arrested. I mean, that's how crazy the world is now. These are criminals. These are not good. Remember when Trump first term, when he called MS-13 gangs, and then Nancy Pelosi said, they're all God's children. Remember that? In Trump's first term, he called out MS-13, and he was warning people way before Tren de Aragua became a thing. Uh-huh. MS-13 was a gang in this country for decades.
Yep.
And then Trump was called a racist for calling them criminals, and they're in the country. And then Nancy Pelosi said, they're all God's children. So now Tren de Aragua are all, we're all God's children.
Yeah.
Some of them are Satan's children. That's the problem.
The biggest issue I have with all these dopes, whether it's sanctuary cities, marching for Gaza and Palestine, or these other groups that like to get off of the subways in cities, and everybody says, oh, they're white supremacist marching groups. If you believe your cause is righteous, you don't conceal your identity, right?
Exactly. They're hiding their faces.
Yeah.
But I will also say this. It's a sin in America today that trending, if you look at the trends on social media, Maryland father, when these guys they keep coming back, and all the officials from the government are saying no, they show the tattoos. They said these guys are not just criminals or accused criminals, these are some of the worst. These are violent child rapists, predators, human traffickers. And the fact that the media, where were they equally talking about when you think about like Lakin or Rachel?
Exactly.
Or what's the other little girl, Jocelyn?
Yep.
They're not talking about any of these other, right?
Yeah.
It's a sin.
When you're a scumbag and you've broken the law and you're a criminal, I'm not interested in your past military service. I'm not interested in if you've raised four daughters. The headline is scumbag. Right?
It's not even scumbag. Mm-hmm. That's kind, Nick.
I know.
These guys are murderers, rapists, and child rapists.
Let's look at a video.
Yeah, and traffickers.
Yeah, let's
see. I mean, these are the worst of the worst.
While you're doing this, why don't you play the video, Phil? You can just play you don't have to play the audio. Here's the video of a bunch of criminals from El Salvador going back to El Salvador.
You know, I saw this a few days ago. I know you've been sitting on this for a while.
I have.
Here's my takeaway. They're flying in more comfortable seats than I use on Frontier. So I don't want to hear about their rights. They're going free. It looks like they're flying close to first class.
Why are they all clapping?
Exactly.
Like, why are they all... They all seem to be super happy that they're going back to El Salvador.
Yeah.
Well, it was unlimited drinks. I mean, they had, they got vouchers.
Yeah.
You know, they got vouchers. They got a couple of nice meals. They got a credit card.
And they
got some money from Doge to get them the hell out of here. You know what I'm saying?
They also didn't have to realize that they have to deal with a flight attendant that's going to walk around and try to pimp them a credit card or, the in-flight movie is Home Alone 2.
We should break and come back and do Dawn's Big Three.
All right, let's do that.
It's after 9 o'clock already?
Yeah, it's 9:15.
Time is just flying by.
We only have another,
22 hours left for
a
cut sheet. Yeah.
Can we do it?
We can do it.
Kale and Company, Big Three, rapping with Bruno on the other side. Stay right there.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Time for Dawn Stensland's final Big Three at 9 before she goes to Italy.
It's the Big Three at 9 on Kale and Company.
Sponsored by Natural Lawn of America. Number one, I will start with Doge and Elon Musk, a story trending right now that Elon Musk accusing this U.S. Institute of Peace, USIP, of deleting a terabyte of financial data that he alleges they tried to cover up crimes by deleting this huge amount of financial data. But then he had put out on social media, actually on his X, that they deleted the terabyte of financial data to cover their crimes, but they don't understand technology, so we recovered it. Now, I'll point out that many news agencies this morning have been asking for the proof of that. I don't see the proof or the details of that as far as recovering what financial data. But Doge is claiming that this USIP, in fact, funded, and these are your tax dollars funneled through an NGO, non-government organization, right, funded, but that they were going to, among others, Afghanistan's former chief of protocol, who'd been a member of the Taliban, as well as funding going to the Iraqi League for Youth. And so asking the question, why are these individuals getting, at the end of the day, your tax dollars?
Well, let's pretend that I know nothing about technology for a moment. Is a terabyte bigger than a gigabyte or a megabyte?
Yeah, terabyte is bigger.
Yes.
It sounds
huge.
Bigger.
Tera's huge.
Yeah, I'm thinking like pterodactyl. Big.
Or Tara Patrick, one of my favorites of all time, if you understand
is that your
what
nephew?
I'm talking about. No.
Tara Patrick.
Only those with a warped mind or a certain affinity for quality human beings would understand the Tara Patrick metric.
Yeah. I like almost better than sex.
Exactly. Thank you, Senator.
You're welcome.
I will say this, that they had 300 employees, this USIP, this Peace Institute, they had 300 employees until they were all fired or dismissed, and that was just recently. And so Musk has made all these allegations about them. Again, I don't have any of the background of this or financial data that I can search through to say that I can confirm any of this. These are all claims being made. But Musk and the Doge team and now other government officials who are investigating this are claiming that, among other things, that this organization was not only just fraudulent, but funded these criminals who were, among them, terrorists.
Okay.
So that's number one. Number two, as we were looking at, there's a story that I sent to you guys. I don't have the backing of this as far as what is being revealed, but there is a story out of the Washington Times that the House Task Force, the investigation team, they keep on revealing new details. Now, this one was dated December 30th, but then it was trending and being updated. So there's something going on with the Butler PA assassination attempt.
No, I just talked about why we haven't heard much about that. I'll be damned.
So I don't know if it's Nick Cale prompting people to just repost these things. I was talking to Phil Omquist about this. Do you see anything out there? Because we're always watching this. What's trending? Are they going to come out more with more information from the House Task Force investigators? So I honestly don't see anything more. Nick Cale called for it. Maybe you're being a little psychic, but we're always fascinated, not just because we're in Pennsylvania and it's local, but for obvious reasons.
Trump said like a week or two ago that there was a task force getting to the bottom of this, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
what's going on?
Yeah.
And when we say get to the bottom of it, we'll have a file dump that'll tell us a whole bunch of nothing. Which, honestly, if I'm Trump, I would. Here's the God's honest truth, the question. Do you think Trump knows all the details behind his own assassination attempt?
He knows more than he's saying. He's alluded to it.
Well, yeah.
Because he gets the full briefings. He can't say it, though.
Wow. Well, with this, will they send a bunch of social media influencers to the White House to give them binders full of nothing?
They did not send them to the White House for that purpose. We did learn that. It was embarrassing. But
okay, they weren't there for that purpose.
They weren't there
but
for
they
that
got
purpose.
They got a binders full of nothing.
Right. Somebody
that
thought
they
it was
all
a good idea.
Held up and said, look at us. Now we'll have more followers.
Still waiting for my binder.
It's the worst binder since
the binder.
Since Mitt Romney with binders full of women.
That's a great
Bruno
reference.
With the callback.
I gotta disagree.
I always have these facts that I just pull out of the sky.
Mitt Romney
full of women.
That seems like ages ago. Mm-hmm. The Mitt Romney binders full of women.
How dare you disrespect Karine Jean-Pierre, the reincarnation of the binder? I miss her. Don't you guys miss her?
I'm not going to get beyond that. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah,
maybe
the Hatch Act.
I would refer you to the
House
Counsel.
Yeah, I miss her.
And so I don't want to do a Boebert and conflate two people, but I believe that on the original task force here in Butler, PA, on the assassination attempt, among the Republicans, I believe one of them who has been on the task force, who's now promoted within the Trump administration, is Mike Waltz, right?
Oh.
Did he use that a is the Waltz, right?
Did he use a Gmail for that?
TikTok.
Was he communicating with AOL Instant Messenger?
Dope. Number three, I don't know. Since I'm going to Italy, I had to find like a fun Italy story.
Yeah.
So Italy now, did you know that they're changing their constitution to make it tougher? And this goes back to the 1800s in Italy, making it tougher to become a citizen.
Oh, is that right?
It's an outrage.
So in Italy, it has long been standard procedure that if you can prove that you have heritage, you know, dating back or going back to Italy, and you have at least one living relative who's Italian, you can get, you know, a co-citizenship, that sort of thing. They're wiping that out. They're now cracking down because they've had problems with illegal immigration. So they're.
I got more living relatives in Italy now than I do in the United States. So I should get right in there. I should have a first class seat on the next Italia flight straight to Palermo, Sicily.
Yeah. You can go with Dom in a couple of weeks when he goes.
Exactly.
Go with me this
Dom's
week.
Dom's not doing it until the fall, right? Yeah. That's the fall. That's when it's coming up.
Don, are you going to Palermo as well?
So this trip last year was southern Italy. Now we're northern Italy. So Milan, Tuscany, Cinque Terre. The weather's beautiful.
Cinque Terre.
Mm-hmm. Bruno, they should make Tony Bruno an honorary, give you the key to the city, whichever city you want. Right.
I say we just make him the Pope.
Make him the Pope.
No, I don't want to. I don't want to be the Pope. No,
because he doesn't want to be
Pope
celibate.
Shot. No, I don't want to. I don't want people wheeling me up to a railing to wave at people while I'm keeping everybody else suppressed inside my own little country.
Right.
I don't need my own little country.
Right.
I just need my own little balcony overlooking the Gulf of America here in Florida. Woo! That's all I need.
Diane Feinstein has that market cornered already. So.
All right, sponsor.
Natural Lawn of America, from organic fertilizer to safer weed and insect controls. Natural Lawn, make sure your lawn thrives naturally season after season. Choose Natural Lawn. Get free seeding every year. Free seeding every year. What are you waiting for? 800 free seed now. Natural Lawn of America.
Yeah.
Tony Bruno, great stuff, brother. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, I got to go out now and figure out what I'm going to do for the next 23 hours.
Well, Tony's going to be filling in a couple of days for Dawn too. Woo-hoo! So we will be hearing more.
I got it. There'll be a lot of extra time.
There'll be a lot of Bruno in the next couple of weeks.
So we'll be traveling through Tuscany, Florence, and we'll be listening to Bruno.
Amen.
It'll be fun.
Amen.
On the Odyssey app in Italy, where they require voter ID. All right, thanks, Bruno.
Thanks, buddy.
Love you, Tony.
Love you,
there
Tony.
He is.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
All right, coming up next, we got him out of here relatively quick today.
Yeah.
And effortlessly. He didn't stick around and put up a fight. He's the only guy that still... Harry Mays is the exact opposite. He can't wait to leave after his appearance. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to our veteran spotlight brought to you by Window Nation. Alina Spies will join us. There's about a 68% chance, according to Polymarket, that I butchered the way you say her name. So if I have to correct myself, I'll probably do that next. Stay right there.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
I am very, very pro-police. I think most people that listen to this show know that, and most of you are. And obviously very much pro-military. We're coming off of the TMF, Travis Manion Foundation Radiothon, and we have somebody that not only is a part of TMF, not only served her country, but also is a current New Jersey state trooper. Alina Spies is with us in studio. Alina, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm actually very well.
And I totally butchered the name as I teased your appearance last segment. I said Alina Spies, and of course your name is Alina Spies, so
that's
I got both wrong, 0 for 2. But it could be worse. I could be the Atlanta Braves and be 0 for 6.
Trust me, I've been called worse.
I have too, as well. So let's talk a little bit about your career, because it seems to me, from looking at your biography, that you kind of knew where you wanted to go career-wise and what path you wanted to take, perhaps younger than a lot of people. Let's start with what you did in high school, and we'll work our way toward present day.
Sure. So I joined the Army National Guard. Gosh, I'm going to date myself, but my senior year of high school in 1999, I don't know. I just always loved the military edge. I loved the competitiveness. I loved the camaraderie.
Is there a family history here? Or
so no, I'm actually the first.
Wow.
Yeah. My dad is Cuban. My mom's Puerto Rican. My dad came over. He was actually born in Cuba.
So you have feistiness in your blood.
I do.
Yeah.
And, you know, just growing up, he always said school, 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 but he never explained how I was going to do that.
Right.
You know, because we're, again, from, you know, Cuba and Puerto Rico, and we're just minorities.
Okay.
So I didn't know how I was going to pay for school, and I met my recruiter in senior year in the cafeteria. And when I learned about the National Guard and be able to do my military life and my civilian life and kind of simultaneously move up in the ranks, I was like, sign me up. I'm ready for it.
It's amazing. And you voluntarily shaved your head.
Yeah.
I did it by default because the genetics were no longer working in my favor.
Wow.
But you shaved your head.
I did. So the story goes, growing up, my dad, again, he had a daughter, and I'm the first. I'm the oldest of three. And just thinking, like, how am I going to get this girl to be somebody in America, right? You know, because we're talking about the 1980s. So he would do little things like, hey, Alina, go and turn on a light switch. And I'd say, oh, God. Right? Like as a kid.
Yeah.
And I would go right before I put on the light switch, Alina, stop. And I would look at him like, wait a minute. You just told me I put the light switch on.
Uh-huh.
And he'd say, nope, a boy can do it better.
Oh.
And I would be so infuriated. I would put the light switch on. And I'd say, listen, I just did that better than anybody could ever put on a light
switch.
You'd
flick it emphatically.
I would be like, this is it. I did it better. And so I don't know if he really knew what he was doing, but he was kind of instilling anything that you do, do 100%.
Yeah.
And you can. And so when I went to boot camp, guess what? The boys were beating me out to formation. I'm like, no, I'm shaving this hair off and I'm getting out there first. And
that's awesome.
The original G.I. Jane.
Yes.
If you remember the Demi Moore movie.
Yes.
I will say when I got back, there was no Rihanna haircuts back then and I looked like Ralph Macchio. So, you know, it's humbling. It's part of the story.
Yeah.
By the way, don't feel old, Alina. My senior year was 1998, I have you beat by a year. Kale's a youngin'.
Yeah, three Gen Xers here having a conversation. That's all. So you're deployed to Iraq 2004.
Yes.
I'm thinking back to 2003, the invasion, Saddam Hussein. Take us back 21 years ago. What was that deployment like?
Oh, my God. You just said 21 years ago.
I know. It's flown by, right?
It's flown by. Oh, my gosh. So, you know, it was the beginning. It was OIF 3. So we were still, you know, there was a lot of equipment that still wasn't over there. I, you know, rode around non-up-armored vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an experience that I would never trade. I learned a lot. I learned a lot from the military. I loved being in the military. I was a 73 Charlie finance specialist. So, I went to PLDC again, bringing in that feistiness. I was an honor graduate of the entire class. So when I went to Iraq, I was given the job of being a pay mission NCO. And so I would grab a group of troops and we would get into the vehicles and, travel throughout the Diyala province and deliver the money. So,
Road Warrior Nick wants me to ask her to look at Nick and see if she thinks Nick is C20 compliant.
No, the answer is probably no.
I don't know what that means. Right. I'm just passing on one of our listeners.
Do you know what C20 compliant is?
Oh, I do know what C20 compliant is.
So explain it. Give it to us.
So with the state police, we do have to take a physical test each year to make sure that we're still compliant. So we do push-ups, sit-ups, run, and all the way up until we retire. So even our colonel is still doing C20.
Okay. So how many push-ups are we talking? 7, 8?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Or, I could do a lot of
to be compliant.
I would have to.
I can give you about 8 right now.
Well, no, then you wouldn't be compliant.
My head would get real red.
Then we could practice afterwards.
Yeah, we'll do that afterwards.
Eight good ones. You can do 8 good ones, Kale?
Yeah, 8 in great form, and then I'll start that. My elbows will start shaking the whole bit.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
So,
I agree.
So how many do you have to do to be C20 compliant?
So C20 compliant because we have the range of when you first get on all the way up into our colonel. It's up there. It's over the 30s.
Okay.
Wow.
So you leave the military. It's 2007 going into 2008. Yep. You go from being a, you know, proud veteran, which you always will be, but you're no longer active. You go to the state police in New Jersey. Do they have a C20 compliance for state troopers?
The C20 is for state troopers.
Oh, okay.
PT, physical you know, fitness test for the military, which I was the top PT in my unit.
And you are still active as an officer today.
I am.
Roughly 17 years later. What's that been like?
Oh, my God. I always think that joining the state police, which is, again, I didn't really know fully what I was getting myself into. But after going through the academy and just being here for 17 years, it's, I would say, saved my life.
Really?
I do, yeah.
Wow.
Because leaving the military was a very hard decision for me. We were getting ready to go back multiple times because, again, that was back in, you know, the 04, 05. We knew we were going to get out, and I had, the at that time, the ability to get out.
Yep.
So it was a hard decision. I was doing things when I got out, like flying airplanes out of Triton Airport.
Okay.
Just, you know.
You weren't flying the drones around Christmas, were you?
No.
Okay, because there was a lot of drone activity in New Jersey. So you talk about that transition, and that's where TMF comes in. Now, you found the state police 17 years ago. You found TMF about 6 or 7 years ago. And a lot of veterans are always searching for what they do post-military to fulfill a need, find a purpose. You've been with TMF for quite some time. Tell us about that.
TMF, so New Jersey State Police has a lot of jobs, and you can take a lot of avenues. And at the time, I was up in an office job. Someone who was working with TMF came through, and he's like, "Hey, wait, you're a combat vet. You're a vet. You know, have you ever heard of Travis Mannion?" And I said, "No." So he handed me over the book. I read it. My first presentation was to our Trooper Youth Week, which is our students coming over, getting a taste of what our academy is like, a taste of the New Jersey State Police. And I absolutely fell in love. And it just gave part, going back to the purpose of what I love to do, which is give back. I love being in front of a group. I love challenging students and others to be part of something bigger. So that's really what I just absolutely love about it.
Well, you're a great speaker. So 50 weeks from now, when Radiothon starts again in 2026, you're going to come back. Tell your boss with the state police you need the day off. Find somebody else, and you're going to be with us for Radiothon.
That's by the way, the YouTube chat is in love with this woman. So you've made fans on our YouTube chat here. So.
Alina Spies. Yeah, you can't go wrong if you're a state trooper and you serve our country. This audience, they'll walk over broken glass for you. So great stuff.
Awesome.
Thank you so much. All brought to you by Window Nation. For all of your door and window needs, visit windownation.com. And don't get it wrong, folks. It's not Alina Spies. It's Alina Spies, or she'll kick your ass. Great stuff. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You got it. We'll come back, wrap it up here on a Wednesday here on Kale & Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale & Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Kale & Company, as we get set to put a bow on a Wednesday show, Jimmy Kelly saying Bill in Doylestown called in, wanted to pass along a message that he was in tears listening to the interview we just conducted and wanted to thank Alina Spies for her service. So, Bill, congratulations. Well, not congratulations, but thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed the interview. We'll find out what's on tap for the Dawn Show in a moment, as well as what occurred today in music history. But right now, time to win a pair of Phillies tickets with Jimmy Kelly's Morning Mystery Movie Clip.
And now, the Morning Mystery Movie Clip on Kale & Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Mr. Sullivan is considering you boys for 4 more shows. You dig?
We dig.
We dig, and I'm going to work it out. Just give me 5 minutes, okay?
Okay. Okay.
Right? Groovy.
Groovy.
It's groovy. Just give me 5. Okay?
Have a great show, okay?
Well?
Oh, come on, John.
It's just a word, Jim. Stones changed when they played here.
Yeah. My words, I don't care. Let's just jam.
You know what it is? Be call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
Oh, the great prize today and all week long, a pair of tickets to see the Philadelphia Phillies and the San Francisco Giants coming up at Citizens Bank Park on Tuesday, April 15th. If you are caller 12 with the correct answer at 855-839-1210, you are going to Jackie Robinson Day. Caller 12, 855-839-1210. Now we find out what occurred today in music history.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history on Kale & Company.
Today, a
April 2nd, we celebrate the birthday of David Robinson from the Cars, who's 76. Heavenly birthday shouts to Leon Wilkerson from Lynyrd Skynyrd, Kurt Winter from the Guess Who, Leon Russell, and somebody I mentioned yesterday, Marvin Gaye. We also lost B.B. Dickerson from War on this day in 2021. Sigurd from Out of Nowhere by Faith No More in 90. Trampled Underfoot by Led Zeppelin in 75. What I've Done by Linkin Park in 2007, Stone Cold by Rainbow in 82, and Old Time Rock and Roll by Bob Seger in 79. Album The Coup Made Attraction by White Lion in 91, and Edge of Thorns by Sabotage in 93. Also in 99, the Black Crowes played a show in Knoxville. A teenager in the second row sued the band a year later for $5,000, claiming significant hearing loss. Do teenagers know there are actually things called earplugs?
No.
Side note. In 2013, just before a Bon Jovi show in Calgary, Richie Sambora leaves the band. In 57, Elvis appears for the first time outside the U.S., performing in Toronto. This and the show the next day in Ottawa were the only two shows he ever did outside the U.S. And a number of shows actually got announced yesterday, including Jackson Browne and AC on June 28th. And Living Color at the Keswick on May 14th. But lastly, speaking of shows, if you're going to the Disturbed, Daughtry, Nothing More show tonight at the Wells Fargo Center, maybe I'll see you there. And it's time to rock, baby. I'm Phil Oquist.
He's attending another show. It's unbelievable, this guy. All right, Dawn Stensland will be attending Italy.
Italy. Attending.
Yeah. What do you got lined up in your final show before you head across the pond?
Yes. So we will, our favorite local professor and financial guru will join us. Dr. Michael Bussler will join us. And just a preview of what is to come with the Rose Garden today. We won't know for sure all the deets from President Trump until his 4 p.m. Rose Garden news conference that's planned. So we're waiting for that. But ahead of time, why is the president meeting with, for example, senators today? Why, you know, what's going on with the economy? So we'll talk about all things economic for sure. We'll start out by talking about the Day of Liberation locally, nationally. What does that really mean? We'll take a look at that. What's up with these lawsuits against flags? Is there such a thing as an American flag that's too big? Because size does matter.
Yeah, baby.
So we'll talk about that one going on. And ahead, we just have some real treats for you. Great interviews. And in between, we'll have some fun as we talk about Italia.
All right. Dawn Stensland coming up next. In Dawn's absence, Tony Bruno, Harry May, Sean Farish, a cast of thousands over the next few weeks. Dawn, enjoy your trip, and I'll see
you
return.
Wait, hang on. Mike.
What?
Mike and Cinnaminson.
Oh, I forgot about him.
Do you know how to do radio?
No.
What's the movie clip, Mike?
It's The Doors with Val Kilmer.
Thank you, Mike.
Well, you've just made your way through the doors at Citizens Bank Park. Congratulations. There you go. Mike is the winner. All right, Dawn is up next. Have a great Wednesday. Until then,
good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.